Welcome to Canada's Real Estate Podcast, your compass to all things real estate. And now, here's your hosts, Carla Brown and Adrian Schultz, Canada's real estate experts.
It's our annual gardening episode.
So it's our annual gardening episode. And, you know, I know with the kids, we've done these little fairy gardens. Do you know what fairy gardens are?
No.
So fairy gardens are, you find a spot in your backyard or in a pot, and then you can buy all these miniature creatures and little houses and bunnies and flowers, and you create a fairy garden, which is a miniature version of your bigger garden. But ironically, in fairy gardens, there are miniature houses. And yes. Aren't we kind of talking about miniature houses today?
Yeah, we're talking about tiny houses behind big houses, essentially. Gaining a lot of popularity across Canada, not available in every municipality yet, but that seems to be changing as we progress this year, month by month. It's totally due to this whole housing affordability issue that we have across Canada, that now municipalities are looking at how they can densify the land that they already have, because they're not ready to keep expanding out. We've got to figure out how we can expand within.
Is this a play on the grant? I think they call it granny suite in Manitoba, where you're allowed to build a legal suite in your basement and rent it out. Is this a play on that, but now it's in the backyard?
Well, I think it's how you can... I think it's to add to that, because I think now you have the land. Lots of these lots from years ago are big enough that they could build another tiny house. What I've seen is like between 500 and 1,000 square feet. So they're like really tiny to like a fair size property, depending on where they are. But I've also seen developers coming in now and building how they can build one property, maybe an up down, maybe a fourplex, depending on how big the lot is, and put this one of these laneways or garden suites on that lot as well.
So, is it by default over a garage or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. Some of them have garages attached to them, believe it or not. So it's an interesting concept, but I think if someone is going to do this, there is a lot of pros and cons and things for them to think about. Maybe it's not pros and cons, because there's a lot of things that were going off in my head just as I was thinking about this, because I have a property management company. I'm going to see people contact us that they are now wanting to build one of these on their property. So now they're going to have tenants. People are going to be wondering, could I have this professionally managed, or do I have to get in the landlord business now? Because we both know there's a lot of people who don't want to be in the landlord business.
Yeah.
So when we see an owner come to us or an investor and they have a rentable suite in the bottom of their property and they live up top, they sometimes want those managed. And it's a tricky relationship, because you are so close to that tenant. And I always say you end up with the mom and dad situation, where if they don't like what mom says, they're going to go to dad. And it truly happens. So trying to really have that expectations and those really rigid lines drawn on who's responsible for what could be something that needs to happen there. And then now they're going to be getting extra income, but they're also going to have extra property taxes. They're also going to have an increase in insurance. They could possibly have an increase in utilities. And then utilities, I'm rambling here, Adrian, but then utilities got me thinking that, can it even be possible? I know when my neighbors behind me in my own property, I live in a property that was built in the 70s here in Saskatoon. We have big lots. And the property right behind me, they were doing a big addition. In order to do a big addition on their property, they needed to get utility services bigger into their lot, which meant that they had to come in and they literally dug up a tree that had been in my property for years and my whole perennial garden to increase the service next door. So I wasn't very happy about that, and there was nothing that I could say. So, you know, is there ability from utilities perspective to even put this on the property? And then there's probably a cost that goes along with that as well.
And who pays for it? Where does the money come from?
You have to pay for it. Like, I didn't have to pay for it, but my neighbors had to pay in order to get that service increase. They didn't pay for my perennial garden to be reenacted. And this was probably about 10 years ago. And honestly, every year I still have new perennials popping back up, because they dug it all up. And then eventually they're just like, every once in a while, they just kind of pop up and I'm like, oh, that's where you went. So it's like a surprise garden every year.
So the person doing it is seeking a net benefit. So aside from the standard you know, construction costs and servicing costs involved in doing it. They're looking for a net benefit. You know, is it a new construction financing? Probably. Will others do a equity takeout on their existing house? Maybe. Will others just set up a credit line? You know, if you have a home in an area in Toronto where you've got significant equity, you might just take out an equity line backed by your primary residence, of course. And the nice thing about the home equity line of credit will be if you're using it exclusively for that income generating property, of course, the cost to set it up and the interest servicing cost is a tax deductible expense. And I think what a lot of people don't think about with rental properties, I certainly didn't with my first one 20 years ago, I didn't think about the tax implications of that income that you're generating. You don't just get the money and that's it. You have to pay income tax. It's passive income, right? Mm-hmm. So structuring your debt correctly is really important here. It needs to be separate in order to make the interest a tax deductible expense. And then, of course, there's the question of, you know, is this a great strategy at all? I think this is a Band-Aid solution. I think the granny suites, I always kind of understood that, like, why wouldn't you? But now to take up space in your yard to create a housing unit, yes, it's Band-Aid, but is it a long-term fix? I don't know, because when does the whole quality life balance thing come back into play that you want to have some green space, right?
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be really interesting. You know, Vancouver actually brought this legislation in back in 2009, which I was shocked. I actually looked to see, because it's only been since Toronto brought it in, I think in 2020 or 2021, maybe, that it seems to be gaining some traction. And now a lot of municipalities are doing this. But I agree. I mean, so now you have this suite or laneway house. They called it laneway because for the most part, the door went directly out to the back lane or what was the back alley in a lot of neighborhoods, right? But you're going to have this suite, call it what you will, house there. Now you're going to go sell. You're going to have to sell it all. You're going to have to sell the big house and the small house because it's one title. So mm-hmm. It's all going to go at once. And then you're going to have a capital gain implication because that house is not considered your primary residence. So there's going to be that. And then how saleable are these? Because it's kind of like an outdoor pool. It only is attractive to a certain percentage of people, right? Yeah. So I think, you know, long-term, this is like a great fix or a Band-Aid, as you put it. Long-term, I'm not sure.
Problematic.
It possibly could be. It possibly could be. So it's there's lots of pros and cons and to look at it. And I even was thinking, you know, I know in our city here, if you put a suite downstairs, you're not necessarily going to get two garbages, two recycling bins, and two compost bins. So does that mean that now you're going to have this other set of people now using that? Like, there's all these little things that what happens when you want to go out in the backyard with your kids, right? Can you imagine that now you have this other potential family there? Yeah. So I'm not saying it's negative. I think that figuring out how we can keep up with the population and densify some of the properties that we have is essential. But I would suggest, I guess, that first you look at what's available with your own provinces. I know here in Saskatchewan, they recently announced an incentive for a lower level suite renovation. So you can get up to $35,000 by putting a suite. So if you're living in a house where your basement is not being utilized right now, and you're trying to figure out how much would that cost to legalize it, that might be a better way in order to gain some income in the property and avoid some of these other pieces and now have another home for somebody else.
I think this is, a great opportunity to tout the importance of a real estate team and the professionals that are involved, right? I think there's the realtor, the property manager, the mortgage agent. But in this case, I think I'd have a close discussion with accountant and lawyer as well, right? Just how other people who have done this, what they're experiencing for repercussions, right? The unexpected. Yeah, I think it's interesting. I'm not sold on it. I do like lower level suite idea. Not sure I want to take away any of my backyard space, but to each their own. Now that's real estate in Canada.
Thanks for listening to Canada's Real Estate Podcast. If you like this episode, please subscribe and give us a rating. The content shared is for informational purposes and reflects the opinions of the hosts. connect with us online at canadasrealestatepodcast.ca. Today's episode is brought to you by Century 21 Canada, the gold standard in real estate. Explore listings, find an agent, and get advice at www.c21.ca.